welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on how HER2-targeted therapies can be incorporated into the management of patients with colorectal cancer. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Seagen, Inc. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a medical oncologist, an advanced practice nurse, and a patient advocate and colorectal cancer survivor consider the management of possible side effects in the multidisciplinary team setting.
Hello, my name is Dr. Kristen Siamber, an oncologist from the Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee, in the United States. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Kelly Roan, a colorectal cancer advanced practice nurse at the Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, Arizona, in the United States. I'm also delighted to be joined by Mr. Scott Wilson, a survivor of colorectal cancer and a patient advocate from Denver, Colorado. Mr. Wilson was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer with liver metastasis in 2016 at age 48 years. He underwent a colon resection, removing 13 centimeters and 40 weeks of chemotherapy. In August 2017, he was told he had no evidence of disease. He had a liver resection in December 2017 and was on every other week maintenance immunotherapy with panitumumab. So, Scott, can you tell us a little bit about the side effects that you experienced in terms of with chemotherapy and how your team kind of helped you manage those?
Yeah, sure. And actually, the word you mentioned earlier about stoicism kind of pops into my mind at that point. I was probably one of those patients that kind of held off as much as possible feeding back about side effect, because I just wanted the main treatment to really have a chance of doing its job. So my only goal really was survival, and I would sort of take anything that came along with that. Now, along with that did come hair loss, or hair reduction, if you want to call it that. So with the colorectal cancer typical treatments, you don't lose your hair completely, but it's certainly thinned from that point of view. A very big side effect was skin sensitivity. I had moved from Scotland, where there's, I think, 30 days of sunshine a year, to Colorado, where there's over 300 days of sunshine a year. So suddenly, you know, this reason for moving became a reason for leaving. I mean, it was a serious challenge. If I just stepped outside for 10 seconds in the Colorado sun, it would have a serious impact of flaring up my face. So I was wearing a mask almost permanently long before COVID kicked in. So that adds a little mental health challenge as well of, you know, you're looking different. Why is he wearing a mask, et cetera? So all those questions go through your head. And then a significant challenge too was neuropathy. And I think that's another example where I may have tolerated the drugs a little bit longer than recommended, just because I thought it was going to help me survive. Personally, I mean, I still have neuropathy in my hands and feet, but I see that as a fair trade-off for survival. Other people might find it more uncomfortable, and I've certainly learned to adapt. And, you know, I'll wear 3 pairs of gloves instead of 1, that kind of thing. And as a Scottish comedian said, there's no such thing as bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. So I've applied that philosophy to my neuropathy as well.
Well, I think that's a very healthy perspective. And you know, you mentioned the trade-off, you know, just imagining what you went through to get where you are. You know, we're sorry you had to go through all of that, to be honest, but we're glad you're here, obviously. How about, Kelly, could you tell us a little bit about, so Scott mentioned sort of some of the treatments that he was on. As we think more about HER2-positive colorectal cancer, which is an increasingly important subset of patients with colorectal cancer, we have lots of new ways to target this disease subtype in specifically. And when we think about HER2-targeting agents, what do we think about when we're talking to patients about HER2-targeted therapy? So what side effects can they expect, and what do we look for as healthcare providers as well?
Well, I think the most obvious side effect that we talk to patients about first is diarrhea. A lot of the patients who are undergoing treatment for colorectal cancer have had some sort of surgery on their bowel. And, you know, sometimes after surgery, their bowels just don't work as they did previously. So some of them are already having some challenges. And then we throw some chemotherapy in that can cause significant diarrhea. Then, you know, sometimes patients can get into a little bit of trouble. So we talk a lot about how do you manage diarrhea, how much is too much diarrhea to have, and how do we kind of keep track of that. So we actually have some nurses who call our patients right after their treatment to talk about side effects they might be having, nausea and those kinds of things. And so we educate our patients specifically on how many stools they should have per day before it becomes too much. And so we spend a lot of time kind of looking for those kinds of things. That's the side effect that's the most obvious to people. For us as clinicians, we are watching out for some of that cardiac toxicity. The patient won't necessarily have a clear symptom or side effect from, or an indication that they're having some heart failure from their HER2-directed therapy. But we have to make sure that we watch their echocardiograms and that we make sure that those are being scheduled on a regular schedule and that we are comparing what they look like previously to what they look like now. And if we manage that should it occur. And then the other thing that we look at is, you know, are some of the treatments that we're giving causing lung problems? So we specifically ask, are you having any coughing, you know, any shortness of breath? And if so, we start to investigate.
That's great. Yeah. And I think specifically with HER2-targeted therapies, you mentioned the kind of rarer side effects of cardiotoxicity and interstitial lung disease. And those are really key because you don't want to miss them and you know, they're treatable. But yes, there are actually much more common side effects that more patients experience. So kind of managing both of those things, the more common, maybe less severe, and then also the ones that are really more dangerous, but might be less common. So I think that's important to kind of keep that top of mind. Now, as we finish up this part of the discussion, Scott, could you give us a takeaway in terms of maybe your best advice for us as healthcare providers who are treating patients with colorectal cancer? What's one piece of advice you would give us?
I'm not really in a position to give clinical advice because and everything I found was absolutely superb. I think one of the missing chunks of further development is the mental health side. And I think most of my mental health comfort, if you like, came from outside of the clinical community. It's that broader kind of caregiver community, the survivor community, and really reached into there. And that's the daily challenge. We're all geared up to cope with the physical challenges. But scanxiety, for example, I cannot underestimate the trauma, fear and torment of waiting for scan results. And it's very difficult for a clinician to walk you practically through what scanxiety means. Sometimes you just need the virtual arm around the shoulder from someone that's been through it. Says, I know what you're going through. I know what it feels like. That's something that clinicians, to be fair, can't really give. So I think just this notion of bringing the broader community in and seeing mental health very much as part of the treatment process, I think would be a major step forward.
I could not agree more. Thank you for bringing that up. I think that's something that's often overlooked in medicine. You know, as we think about developing new drugs and better therapies, which are all extremely important, but helping from a mental health standpoint to get through that journey couldn't be more critical. So thank you for that. Well, on that note, I'd like to close this part of the discussion. I wanted to thank Scott and Kelly for their just wonderful insights today. I think this has been really informative for all of us, not only here in this discussion, but for our viewing audience. So we hope you found these discussions useful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget there are 3 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.